That's our pre-worship song that we're going to be doing this coming Sunday, because that particular song talks about the divine exchange, which is what we've been looking about this past Sunday in Romans chapter 1, and we'll be back in that same passage this coming Sunday. So I want to welcome everybody. I want to welcome you if you're on our social media platforms, on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things there. You can do that from here also. Especially comment there if you have any prayer requests. Go over to Facebook. That's where you can put those. We'll be looking at our phones and our devices live to see if you give us any of those so we can include those in our prayer time tonight. And also want to welcome those on our phone live streaming. Thank you so much for being there with us too. And for all of you there on all of those, just know we still have been having those issues. We do think we figured it out, hopefully. Tonight you're our test on what we changed. So hopefully we don't drop tonight with any of the stream. We'll see if we do. If we do drop, we'll go back and punt again and try to fix the next thing. But thank you so much for bearing with us there. Want to also encourage you, if you're at home, to go to our website at highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin, the children's worship bulletins, as well as your prayer list that's underneath that. Get that downloaded if you're at home. Those are on the front pews if you didn't get one as you came in this morning or this evening. Don't forget also, you've got the prayer guides here for the International Week of Prayer for Missions, our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So be in prayer for that. It goes from Sunday to Sunday. If you want one of these at home, please call us or comment there. We'll be glad to send one of those out to you. And you can also do your online giving by going to highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to the far right-hand side. Click the Give Online tab there. You can do your online giving with your regular offering. You can do the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. These envelopes are around too in person for you to get those. You just click the drop down there online and you can choose that. If you do put it in a regular offering envelope with your regular giving, just be sure to note it down there somewhere in the comments there, how you divided that out with your budget offering versus the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So just wanted to remind you of those things. I've got a couple of other announcements, but I'll wait to give those when I come back up in a moment. So Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good evening, everybody. Take your hymnals or sing from the screen, whichever you choose, but you might want to stand and warm up a little bit and sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Ms. Gail? Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, born our fears and sins to Jesus, let us find our rest in thee. Strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart, born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Got ready to come up and I heard voices and I was like, oh, where are the voices? And it was the live stream. I barely had my voice on, the volume on. So we are watching Facebook there. If you have any prayer requests, be sure to get those there on Facebook. The couple of announcements that I wanted to share, if you'll go back to those, Janice, on our announcements there. One is the angel tree. Don't forget that this Sunday is the day to get those back to us. So hopefully you've gotten those. We know we have a bunch that are back there already. So thank you to those who have already gotten yours back to us. But if you have not, please get those back to us this coming Sunday, the 11th. Next Thursday is when they'll be picking them up. And so we just need to make sure that we have everything there, and if there's anything else we need to do with those before we send them to the Head Start program, we can take care of doing that. So we've got the angel tree, and then we've also got the Christmas parade coming up. There's been many who have helped us with putting together the packets to give out on Friday evening, but we still need some individuals that may want to ride on the float, especially though for those who would walk the parade route with us to hand those out to the kids. One of the things that you do at this parade in Tullahoma, which is unlike others, you cannot throw candy from your float. You have to walk and hand those to the people, and they're really cracking down on that this year, they said. So there's a lot of things they've changed for this year. But so we need some people that can help us to walk. It usually doesn't take too long. We have 2,000 of those that we're giving out, and usually before we get to the speedway from the chamber where we start at there down to the speedway, we've usually already given out all 2,000 of those. So if you can help us with that, please see me tonight so we can get you signed up and I can get you some information on what you need to do, where you need to meet us, or any of those kinds of things. And I guess I left my prayer list down there. All right, so on our prayer list, hopefully at home, you got that downloaded. We've got a couple to add to the prayer list. Well, at least one that I know, I think we got the other one added before we printed the prayer list, but there's at least one that I need to add for tonight. So if you look at our Highland Baptist Church family side, I want to remember Carolyn and S.W. Stone. Carolyn is back at home, but just continue to keep her in your prayers as she continues to recover from her illness that she had. Remember Arthur Hargrove, Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells, Bill Warren, Amy Jackson. She has some treatments that are going to have to be coming up. Also, they're going to do a biopsy, I think, first, though, on her lung, and because they found some spots there. So keep her in your prayers. Hopefully she doesn't have to have that. And then George Duncan is at St. Thomas, so keep him in your prayers. He had a procedure done this morning. I did not hear how that went. Did anybody? Okay, so everything went as planned. From what I understand, he is going to be in a while longer because they are going to do some treatments, or he's at least going to have some treatments that will be done, whether he's in a while longer or not, because of the cancer that they found in his liver, I believe it is. So keep him in your prayers. Keep Ken Tatum in your prayers with his continuing bone cancer and chemo treatments. Diane also, Gordon Jackson, Tommy Griffin with his ongoing medical issues, and Cindy Ingram. Are there any others in the Highland Baptist Church family side there that maybe we've missed? All right, so we have on the friends and family side, we have the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel, the Meredith family in Moldova, Katie Jo Bailey, Buddy Saunders, Mamie Thompson. Stop me if you have any updates. I know I'm going through quickly. But Mamie Thompson, Ryan Bond, Kay Goff, Crystal Schroyer, Barbara Prince, Mary Leibig. I will give you an update with Mary. They have moved her here, that she is staying with Linda and Mark now. And so keep her in your prayers, and keep Linda and them in your prayers as they continue to take care of her here. Remember Virginia Counts, Jimmy Hasty, our Music Search Committee, Jack Young, Phil Jones, Rhonda Morris, John Robertson. He is doing better. I talked to Rita this past week, so we'll probably remove him from the prayer list for next week. Greg Pitts, Teresa Pitts, Valerie Walladin, Karen Gaynor, Robin Stone, and baby Evelyn Fair. The last I'd heard, they were just continuing to try to get the baby to put on more weight, to continue eating there and getting healthier. But do keep them in your prayers. Pray for Lincoln Hastings, Bill Flynn, Peggy Doyle, Mickey and Tawana Miller, and the Yates family. The Yates family is one that Chesley because I've been talking to my brother about my niece, who is named Chelsea. But Chesley is a friend of theirs. The father lost his wife about a year and a half ago, and the four daughters were in a bad car accident. They only have four daughters. They were in a bad car accident this last week. The oldest is in the most critical condition. And so they asked if we would keep them especially in our prayers. All of them had some banged up and bruises. The middle daughter had some broken bones and stuff too that were a little bit worse than the other two, but the oldest is the most critical. So keep that family in your prayers there. And then also, Brother Roger asked us to add his brother, Jimmy Williams, to our prayer list. He was diagnosed today with prostate cancer. He's 84 years old, knows the Lord as a Savior, but just pray for him with that. Any others that we need to add, friends and family there? There was one I had in my head, and I was like, what was it? It's my daughter. our daughter, Ashley, who lives in St. Louis, she works at a UPS store there. On Monday, she was moving a box from the front to the back where it would need to be picked up by their trucks. And they've remodeled her store recently, so things are not where they usually would be. She picked up the box, went to turn, and when she turned, she hit the tape machine with this hand and slashed her hand open on the outside real bad. Bad enough to have stitches. And so she was. They had one of the girls who works with her is, I think, doing an intern to be a doctor, and was able to help get her dressed up on her hand and cleaned out and all that stuff. They got her to an urgent care, which is in the same shopping center that she works in, and so that was great. It was workman's comp, so they won't have to pay anything, but they did have to do some stitches for that, and so she can't move, and that's frustrating for her. She's used to doing and taking care of the rest of the family, so her husband and our granddaughter are stepping up to be doctors and nurses there to help take care of her, so keep her in your prayers. That's Ashley, our oldest daughter. Any others? All right, if there's no others, I don't see any more on Facebook there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our book of Jeremiah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much. You are so loving and so caring, and Lord, you show your mercy and your grace to us day after day after day when we don't deserve it. And so, Father, I pray tonight that as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, we come in all humility, acknowledging we are not perfect. We know, God, that we have sinned in our hearts, in our lives, in our actions. And so, Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Restore us, Lord, as we confess those sins to you and we repent of them. We turn away from them, Lord. Renew us in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. Change us and transform us from the inside out, that we don't continue to go down those paths, making sometimes the same mistakes, the same sins that we continue to do. And so, Father, I pray that if there's issues of anger or bitterness or whatever the issues might be, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would have your hand upon us, Lord, and to guide us, Lord, and to restore us to a right relationship with you. Fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit to do that, Father, and to give us that wisdom and discernment to make right choices each and every day. Father, as we come before you, we want to humbly come before you, knowing, Lord, that you have all power. There is nothing that's too big for you to handle. You can handle all of these prayer requests, as well as many more that are being prayed for around this world all at the same time. And so, Father, we come before you and ask for the prayers for our church family, for our friends and family, for those in the nursing home. And we ask, Lord, that you would divinely intervene in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, watch over them. And, Father, we pray that you will provide for their every physical need that they have, but more than the physical needs, that you would provide for the spiritual needs, especially that are there. And so, Father, we pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon them, touch them to bring that healing to their bodies. And may we use it, Lord, as an opportunity, as a moment to testify of your grace and your mercy and your power as you bring that healing to ultimately bring the spiritual healing to many of these people's lives who may not know Christ. For those who do know Christ, to strengthen them in their faith and in their walk with you, to depend upon you and to find you as their source of strength, that their life and their words might be a witness and testimony to their caregivers. And so, Father, we pray for you to have your way and your will in their hearts and their lives. Lord, be with us tonight as we continue to study the book of Jeremiah here. Open it, Lord, to us. Make it fresh and alive and powerful to us. And Father, we just pray that your word will go forth and not return void. Lord, be with our Awana kids, and some of our kids are out sick. Some of the teachers are out sick. Father, we just pray that you would have your hand upon them to help them to get healthy again, to come back soon. Father, we pray that you would be with our youth also, and we just pray, God, that you'll watch over them and protect them. Guide all of those and all of those leaders of both of those programs, Father, to look for those opportunities to pour your truth into their hearts and lives. And Father, also to bring those kids to the place that they would trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior, as they memorize your word, as they hide your word in their hearts, Lord, that you would use it to help them to not sin, to make those right choices instead of wrong choices. May your word be like a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for hearing our prayers. We look forward to the answers to those prayers, and we just give you the glory and the honor for all that you're going to do. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Jeremiah. We studied the book of Isaiah. It's right after the book of Isaiah. We've got quite a few chapters in this that we'll be going through. We're in chapter 4 of Jeremiah tonight. Moving right along. I've entitled the message tonight, When Life Changes in a Moment. Now, one of the things I just want to let you know, especially if you're at home, the scriptures will not be on the screen tonight. I did not get those and put it into the thing up there tonight. But you will have the points from each one of those sections that we're going to look at. I've got a piece of ginger in my mouth, sucking on that to try to help with the coughing. So bear with me with that. Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 19 is where I want to look especially. We're going to come back and read through some more of these verses, beginning with verse 1. But verse 19 of chapter 4 and verse 20 is what I want to read for us tonight as we begin into this section. Verse 19 says, my anguish, I writhe in pain on the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. What you begin to see here from Jeremiah in the middle of this chapter, we're going to go back to find out what brings him to this place to say what he says in verse 19 and verse 20. All of a sudden, what he sees, life changes, as verse 20 tells us, it all happens in a moment. Let me ask you this, have you ever had or felt that your heart simply couldn't take what was happening in your life anymore? Maybe it was the sudden loss of a loved one. Maybe it was an unexpected illness. Maybe it was a financial blow. Maybe it was a betrayal from someone you trusted, or maybe it was none of the above. Maybe it was totally something else. Jeremiah felt that kind of pain as he was looking at his nation around him. He was seeing it crumbling around him. One of the versions says it this way, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Now, in the Hebrew thought, as he's saying in our translation we're looking at, the ESV, my anguish, that Hebrew, in the Hebrew thought, the word bowels there were considered the seat of emotions and compassion and grief. And so what Jeremiah is communicating here, what he is conveying, is an anguish in his heart and his life that is so deep that it is shaking his entire being. He's witnessing the southern kingdom, the nation of Judah. They've lasted longer than the nation of Israel, but he's witnessing Judah under a looming threat of invasion. He's seeing the city defenses crumbling, and he's seeing the people in terror, and he is crying out, and his cry is not only personal, his cry is prophetic. Now, one of the things this passage reminds us here is that human life is fragile. It reminds us that the world is unstable. And it also shows us that sin brings inevitable consequences. You may think you're getting away with sin, but eventually sin has its judgment. It has its consequences. Even God's prophets were experiencing despair, and yet they model, as Jeremiah does here, the proper response, bringing his grief honestly before God. Here's a man who's overwhelmed. He's grieving for the people he loves. He's burdened by the events that seem beyond his control. But notice this, he doesn't turn in anger. Some of us would. When we're faced with those kind of things, we would get angry with God. Why did you let this happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? But he doesn't turn in anger. He doesn't turn to despair alone. He expresses his pain before God. And that's the very first lesson we're going to learn here in this passage, is that it's okay to bring your heart's deepest burdens to the Lord. God is not offended by our grief. He's not offended by our cries. He's not offended by our lamentations, as we're going to see here from Jeremiah. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane cried out to the Father in agony. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, remember he went a little bit farther than the rest of the disciples, and he fell on his face, and here's what he prayed: "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." That wasn't just a nonchalant kind of statement that he was making there. It was in agony that he was praying that before the Lord. But he said, before the Father, and he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So understand that God allows us to feel. God allows us to mourn and to lament so that our hearts can be softened, so that our hearts can be purified, and so that we can be drawn closer to him. So what we're going to look at tonight, I want you to walk through here Jeremiah's words and help us to see how God transforms our hearts that are broken, lives that are disrupted, and souls that are overwhelmed. The first thing I want you to see is this: the chaos of a broken world. So what brings Jeremiah here to this place to cry that out in verse 19 and verse 20? Well, let's go back and read verses 1 through verse 18 and see the description of the chaos of a broken world. Now, you remember this first verse is tying us back to the previous chapter in chapter 3, where he was talking to those who were backsliders, who needed to return, who needed to repent. There needed to be revival. And so he's connecting that, and he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "If you return, O Israel, declares the Lord, to me you should return." Not to those false idols you've been following, not to anything else. You need to return to me. He says, "If you remove your detestable things from my presence and do not waver, and if you swear as the Lord lives in truth, in justice, and in righteousness, then nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskin of your hearts, O men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Let my wrath go forth like fire, and burn with none to quench it because of the evil of your deeds." And so that's the tying back to chapter 3. And then he says this. He says, here's what I want you to say, Jeremiah, to Judah, the southern kingdom, and its capital, Jerusalem, which is the seat of everything that's going on in Judah. He says, declare in Judah and proclaim in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet through the land, cry aloud and say, assemble and let us go into the fortified cities. Raise a standard toward Zion. Flee for safety, stay not. For I bring disaster from the north and great destruction. From the north would have been Assyria. A lion has gone up from his thicket. A destroyer of nations has set out. He has gone from his place to make your land a waste. Your cities will be ruins without inhabitant. For this, put on sackcloth, lament and wail, for the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us. So you're still going to be judged for what you've been doing. In that day, declares the Lord, courage shall fail both kings and officials. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded. Then I said, ah, Lord God, surely you have utterly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying it shall be well with you. Whereas the sword has reached their very life. At that time, it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind from the bare heights in the desert toward the daughter of my people, not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too full for this comes for me. Now it is I who speak in judgment upon them. Behold, he who comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are ruined. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from evil that you may be saved. How long shall your wicked thoughts lodge within you? A voice declares from Dan and proclaims trouble from Mount Ephraim. Warn the nations that he is coming. Announce to Jerusalem, besiegers come from a distant land. They shout against the cities of Judah. Like keepers of a field are they against her all around, because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord. Your ways and your deeds have brought this upon you. This is your doom, and it is bitter. It has reached your very heart. And then Jeremiah cries out, my anguish, or my bowels. I can't take it anymore looking at what's happening to the nation I love and to the people I love. Jeremiah is describing here a world in turmoil, a world in upheaval. Trumpets are sounding alarms. I mean, if you think about it, when the weatherman tells us that there's some storms that are going to be coming through, you're okay till you start hearing some thunder. And then what happens if you start hearing that siren going? When it's telling you there's a tornado warning, that you need to take shelter, you need to get in your safe spot now because there's something imminent about to happen. That's what he's talking about here. The trumpets are sounding the alarm. Destruction is everywhere. Tents and curtains are suddenly spoiled. It's a vivid picture that he's giving us here of life's instability. And while many of us are not under attack by armies, life still has its battles. We have the loss of our health. We have the loss of loved ones. We have financial struggles and the betrayals by friends and many more things. The Bible is full of all kinds of examples of this chaos. The Bible, think about Job, for instance. Job, who lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost his health in a moment. All in one day. Or think about David, who saw rebellion, who saw tragedy strike in his own family. And even the wicked were not spared. You think about Pharaoh and all the Egyptians who had judgment upon them with their firstborn being taken. Or you think about Belshazzar. And both of those, Pharaoh and Belshazzar, both faced sudden destruction. You know, life is unpredictable. And no one is exempt, not the poorhouse or the White House, from one place in society to another. Every single person, no one is exempt from life's unpredictability. But in the midst of this chaos, God is calling us, like he's speaking through Jeremiah here, to this world of Judah and to us in our chaos today. He is calling us to trust him. And we may not understand why the storm is happening, but understand he promises to be our refuge. He promises to be our shelter. He promises to be our deliverer. It's in these moments that our faith is tested and that our faith is refined, revealing whether we say we rely on the Lord, we say we trust the Lord, but when you're going through those storms of life, it's in those moments that your faith is tested and refined and reveals whether you truly do rely on the Lord, rather than just on the fleeting stability of circumstances. So that's our first point to see, is the chaos of a broken world. It was a broken world in Jeremiah's day, and it's a broken world in our day. But notice also when human righteousness suddenly fails. Now, there is a such thing as human righteousness, but the Bible tells us all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's never good enough. So notice what Jeremiah says there in verse 19 and 20, down through verse 22 again. So verse 19 says, "My anguish, my anguish, I writhe in pain on the walls of my heart, oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly." It's just like it's beating out of his chest. He says, "I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash." It's just one wave after another wave after another wave. "The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment." Verse 21. "How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good, they know not." Kind of like what Paul tells us over in the book of Romans, that they think they're wise in their own eyes, but they're really foolish. And so when he talks about the tents and the curtains that come crashing down, it's giving the picture there of temporary dwellings, of the fragileness of life, of being easily destroyed. And it's applying powerfully here to human righteousness. Jeremiah's cry, his lament here, is crying out because what they thought they were doing that was so good in all of their deeds, they were going and offering the sacrifices at the temple. Even Jesus, when he comes and is born into this life and goes to Jerusalem, he says that you were doing all of these things. It was empty ritual. He even calls them whitewashed sepulchers. They look good on the outside, but they were full of dead men's bones on the inside. They did all the right things on the outside, but it was all for show. There was no desire, no passion, no relationship in their hearts. It was all human righteousness. And when we read here from Jeremiah, his cry about this, it applies also to our personal sense of righteousness. You know, human righteousness apart from God is fragile and fleeting. In other words, you can do one thing after another thing that's good after another thing, but as soon as you sin, it's all gone and you start over again. And you have to start again and again. With God, that doesn't happen. Because it's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness that's imputed to you, the righteousness of Christ. Our human righteousness is fragile, is fleeting, and it's often deceptive. Remember Adam and Eve when they were in the garden. They were created sinless. They had not sinned at all. And yet in one moment, there they were, deceived, stripped of their innocence, and banished because of their sins. They were created in God's image and sinless, and yet their righteousness was destroyed in a single act of disobedience. Not a lifelong of disobedience before that, in a single moment, and then a lifetime of disobedience after that. The Hebrew verb here for spoiled or ruined is the word shakath. It's emphasizing the total and sudden destruction and devastation. You know, human righteousness is vulnerable apart from God. It cannot endure. Even when you make, you know, we do this every year. We probably, some will do this again. January 1st, you'll make some New Year's resolutions. And you'll resolve, I'm going to do, and you make the list, and you follow your list, and I'm going to do this year, and I'm going to do better this year with this or with that. And we make resolutions about what we are going to do. We have well-meaning resolutions. We do many times good deeds and have moral effort, but all of that can be overturned by our sinfulness. Even the most well-meaning, morally upright people are vulnerable. Think about a young man or woman who sets out in life. They're determined to live a blameless, honorable life. You say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to make that mistake anymore. And we find ourselves so often right back where we were to start with. Resolutions are made. Our principles are firm. But temptation comes and it finds its way into our hearts. It's kind of like Peter. Remember in the New Testament when Peter, he walked on the water with Jesus, and he was confident. He was saying, before you think about when Jesus said that you guys are going to deny me, you're going to run, you're going to flee from me. Peter said, not me. I'm never going to run from you, Lord. And he said to you, Peter, tonight three times you're going to deny me before the cock crows. Peter, he had confidence. He walked on the water. But you remember when he was walking on the water, what happened? In a moment, he looked at the waves. He looked at the water. He saw the storm raging around him. And in a moment, his confidence quickly gave way to doubt. Pride gave way to failure. And yet, that's not the end of the story. The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through verse 14, he was outwardly righteous, but he was inwardly lost. And that illustrates this truth. Understand that our only remedy, the only answer for our lives is Jesus Christ and his imputed righteousness to us. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. He made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned, but he made him to be sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, God uses the moments you're going through, the trials you're going through, the storms you're going through to reveal our dependence on him or our lack of dependence on him to cause us to turn our eyes from ourself to Jesus. Paul also wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, he said, my grace, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, when our self-righteousness is stripped away, we're presented with a better alternative. And that better alternative is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, the tents of our own efforts, that's what he's given the illustration here of the tents, the things we do, the things we build, the things that we put our focus on, the tents of our own efforts. When the storms come, without God, all those things are going to collapse. But God offers us an eternal dwelling in him that is secure and unshakable. It's kind of like the parable that Jesus tells us of the wise man and the foolish man. Wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. And the storm came for both. The storm came for both. The wise man who built his house on the rock, his house stood. But the foolish man who built his house on the sand, on the things that are temporary, the things that are always changing, the things that are temporary, it collapsed when the storm came. And great was the fall, Jesus said. So we see here when human righteousness suddenly fails. Also, we see in this passage, as we've seen the chaos of this broken world, we saw when human righteousness suddenly failed. We see also when earthly comforts are suddenly lost. Jeremiah is crying out, and his cry is addressing the loss of earthly comforts. Notice what he says. Crash follows hard on crash. I was watching some storm chasers the other day. I think it was in Illinois where they were showing one of the cameras, at least from the DOT cameras there in Illinois, where there had been it was about a 45 car pileup. You may have heard it on the news. Crash after crash after crash. You just thought it was one to start with, but then the next person and the next person and the next person. And that's the emphasis that he's giving us here. Crash follows hard on crash. Or like you go to the ocean and you see the waves coming in, and it's wave after wave after wave. Some versions use the word destruction upon destruction. It's talking about the sudden removal of property and security and family. Those things that sometimes make us feel secure in this life. We've got property, we've got a house that makes us feel secure. We've got money in the bank maybe for retirement. We've got family that are around us. But all of that can be gone in a moment. Again, think about Job. In one day, he lost his wealth, he lost his children, he lost his health. You think about also in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18 to verse 37, you think about the Shunammite woman. There she was, she had been living life like normal, and then suddenly she lost her son unexpectedly. You think about Jacob, when Joseph had went out to talk to his brothers, and he was bragging about the dreams that he had, the visions that he had, and he tells them about it, and they took and threw him in the pit. They sold him to some travelers who were coming through, headed down to Egypt, and then they take his coat, and they dip it in some blood, and they take it back to Dad and tell him, your son died. In a moment, Jacob's life changed, and he thought his son was dead. Scripture shows us that disaster is impartial. It can strike the righteous, no matter how good you are. It can strike you. It can strike the wicked also. David mourned for the child that God took. Belshazzar, as we mentioned earlier, perished suddenly in Babylon in Daniel 5, verse 30. Those verses teach us that earthly comforts, whether it's our family, whether it's our wealth, whether it's our health, all of those things are fleeting. Don't put your security in your 401k or in your Roth or any of those things. Don't put your security in those, because all of that can be gone in a moment. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because he says, moths can eat it up. Rust can destroy it. Thieves can break in and steal it. But he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Jeremiah reminds us here, when the tents and the curtains are destroyed, our hope must be in God's eternal promises. Earthly loss is a test. It's shaping our faith. It's detaching our hearts from those temporary things. You know, sometimes God lets us go through those things so he can remove all the clutter that's in our life that's been taking the place of God, to say, okay, now, big boy, who are you going to trust? All that's gone. Are you really going to trust in me? You think about a father who's invested all his hopes in a business. You see it happen all the time. People who put their hope in a business, and poof, it fails overnight. Or a mother who treasures her children only to see them taken away. Or the natural response in situations of storms in life is grief or anger or despair. But God calls us as believers to a higher perspective. That's where Jeremiah is here. We have to hold earthly things lightly, using those things for his glory while keeping our hearts anchored in heaven. The greatest treasures, the only truly secure investment, is a spiritual investment. Souls that are saved, faith and hope and love and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are the only things that last for eternity. I mean, we've said it, and you've said it probably 100 times also. You're never going to take all those things you have with you when you die. Never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. It's going to be here. You know who's going to get it? The kids, the government, somebody else. When everything else is stripped away, a heart that's anchored in God is the only thing that's unshakable. But then notice also, as we've already alluded to, when life itself is suddenly taken. Go back to verse 20. He says, crash or destruction on destruction. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. Maybe the most sobering truth that Jeremiah presents is the suddenness of death. Life itself can be taken in an instant. No one's guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, think about how quickly the lives of people you know, friends and family members, can change. He says, how suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. Death is impartial also. It doesn't spare the strong. It doesn't spare the weak. The Bible says repeatedly, as James 4 verse 14 tells us, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are like a mist that appears for a little time and then poof, vanishes away. Some people leave us gradually, others leave us suddenly. Even the strong and the healthy can fall while the weak linger. I can't tell you the number of times that I've seen an individual who you thought this one was going to die. Maybe it's a husband and wife. You thought this one was so sickly that was going to be the person to die, and it's the other one that goes first. Death strips away every earthly possession, leaving our souls to face eternity. Nothing under the sun is permanent. And yet the scripture points us to a hope in Christ. But here's the hope for us who know Christ. Death is not the end. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if the tent, which is what Jeremiah's talking about here, we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so while earthly dwellings and life itself may vanish away, God's eternal promises always remain steadfast. Death for the believer is not destruction, it's transformation. God provides a place for us that when you die, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering. All of those things are gone forever. So in light of what Jeremiah has told us thus far, how should we respond when life overwhelms us? That's what we see in the remaining verses of this chapter. When your tent is spoiled, when your curtains are torn, when your very heart aches and says anguish upon anguish, what are you going to do? Jeremiah raises the question there. I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly, my tents are laid waste. My curtains in a moment. But then notice verse 21. How long must I see the standard? How long must I hear the sound of the trumpet? How long does this have to go on? Verse 22 says, for my people are foolish and they know me not. They are stupid children. They have not understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good they know not. Verse 23, he says, I looked on the earth and behold, it was without form and void, and to the heavens and they had no light. I looked on the mountains, and behold, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and behold, and there was no man, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fruitful land was a desert, and all its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. In other words, there's still going to be a remnant. He says, for this earth shall mourn and the heavens above be dark. For I have spoken, I have purposed, I have not relented, nor will I turn back. At the noise of horsemen and archer, every city takes to flight. They enter thickets, they climb among rocks, all the cities are forsaken, and no man dwells in them. And you, O desolate one, what do you mean that you dress in scarlet, that you adorn yourselves with ornaments of gold, that you enlarge your eyes with paint? In vain you beautify yourself, your lovers despise you, they seek your life. For I have heard a cry as a woman in labor, anguish as one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands. Woe is me, for I am fainting before murderers. How do we respond when human righteousness fails, when earthly comforts vanish, or life is threatened? What are we to do? We're to turn to God. We're to flee to Christ. We're to anchor our heart in heavenly, eternal realities. When Hannah was crying out and pouring her soul out before the Lord, she was pouring it out to the Lord in her despair. Job, and you read about him and the suffering he experienced, what did he do? He turned to the Lord. Jeremiah, he cries, and his cry is directed to God, not away from God. True faith is revealed in the storms, not in the calmness. First, what we ought to do is bring those things like Jeremiah does here, and what he's telling the people to do, to bring those things to God honestly. And to let those storms and those trials of life draw you closer to Jesus, not push him away. Life storms reveal our dependence on him. And then you ought to fix your heart, your eyes on those eternal realities, not the fleeting comforts of this world. You remember when Job lost everything? He said this in Job 13 and verse 15. He said after he lost everything, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Even though I've lost everything, even if he takes my life, I'm still going to trust in God. You see, our faith is revealed in the storms, not in the good weather. Finally, use those trials that you're going through to refine your character and deepen your trust, kind of like that silver that's refined by fire. Be a heart that clings to God during suffering, that's purified and strengthened. Understand that the storms won't last forever. We go through various trials, but it won't last forever. But understand God's presence and God's promises, they last forever. Find your strength in the Lord. All he was hearing was the trumpet sound. Destruction is coming. He was overwhelmed. So his cry is not just a cry of despair. His cry is also a pathway of hope. Our confidence ought not to be in wealth or in family or even in life itself, but in God's eternal promises. When everything else is stripped away, do you really trust in him? If you trust in him, know that that's the hope, the only hope that's going to sustain you. It's the assurance that even when everything else is taken away, God remains and he is enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you here for the example of Jeremiah, who brings that grief before you. Lord, you already knew what was going on in his heart, what he was seeing, and the anguish that he felt as he saw the destruction. He saw what was coming. Lord, we look around us and we see what is coming for our nation and for our world. And yet he brought it before you. May we do the same thing. May we come to you with our hearts that are weary, with our hearts that have felt loss and grief and sorrow. And Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge, you are our rock, you are our ever-present help in times of trouble. And Lord, when life overwhelms us, teach us, Lord, to cry out to you like Jeremiah. Lord, when loss comes, teach us to trust you. Lord, when death approaches, help us to cling to your promises and to anchor our hope in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, give us strength. Give us strength through the trials. Purify us, Lord, through the suffering. Prepare our hearts for the eternal home that you prepared for us. And Lord, may we face each day, may we face each storm, may we even face death itself with a confidence and a peace in you. A peace that the scripture tells us passes all understanding. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for joining with us there online. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday. If you get a chance to come out to the parade Friday evening, our float will be in the parade. It's got our church building on it. It's the theme of snow. There's no better person than Jesus to trust in. And that's the theme for our float. Come and join us with that. Watch us there on the stream that they will have also for that. But come and join us Sunday morning, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. We're going to have a wonderful service this coming Sunday as we get closer to celebrating Christmas. You have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.